Now I'd like to read in the book of the Romans tonight a few verses, Romans chapter 1 in our Bibles. Romans chapter 1. And we'll read at verse 1. Romans chapter 1, and we'll read at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now down to verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of through the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Now down a little farther, and verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now that'll suffice for our reading tonight, and trust the Lord will give help for a few moments in this opening part of the meeting. I'm thinking very simply, we read at least four times in this portion in chapter 1 of Romans the word gospel. And so I'm thinking tonight very simply a little bit about the gospel as it appealed to me concerning this man that's writing this book, the book of the Romans, this man Paul, who earlier on, if we were to go back into the book of Acts, we would find that this man's name was Saul. But there had come an experience into this man's life, and the Bible's very clear and very plain, and this man Saul, or Paul, on different occasions related what had taken place in his life, what had happened in his life, and that's in the book of the Acts. You can read it for yourself in Acts chapter 9, and then again a little farther on in the book of Acts, some things that transpired in this man's life. But through this book, the book of Romans, there's three things that at least run right through the book, and is right on the surface of the book that we can present tonight, right in the opening part. One thing is that salvation is provided for all. Salvation is provided for all people. And that runs right through the book. In fact, that would run right through the whole Bible. That salvation, God's salvation, is provided for every person. The whole vast wide world. Friend, this is a message that we could preach to the whole world. Whatever language it might be, or whatever nation it might be, or whatever part of the world it might be in, this is a message that can be preached across the whole world. For the Lord Jesus himself on one occasion said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So it's a message for the whole world that salvation is provided for all. And yet, friend, we would like to bring it within these four walls tonight of this building, because it's no good to preach to the world tonight. That won't do any person in this meeting any good. Friend, we would like to bring it into a more personal application, because it is you as an individual that we're interested in tonight, and God would be interested in. And a person that gets God's salvation is a person who singles themselves out of the crowd, if you will, and it becomes a personal message. When I understand that this message is for me, not to the person beside me, or the person behind me, or the person in front of me, but this is a message from God to me. The message of the gospel is a personal message, and so it's a message that is needed by all. But then salvation is a message, or something that has been provided for all. And we could find that right through the book of Romans again and right through the book of the Bible, that salvation has been provided for all. God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then, friend, it's needed by all. Right through the book again, these three thoughts prevail. It's provided, it's needed by all, it's provided by all, and it's free to all. Every person that would like to have God's salvation, friend, God's salvation can be obtained. You could be saved tonight in this gospel meeting. You, before you leave this building tonight, friend, you could be rejoicing in the knowledge of your sins all forgiven. Because God in heaven has made provision, provided salvation for every person. And there's no need of any person missing this great salvation. We were reminded last night that it's a gift. Romans brings before us that it's a gift of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And you know how you get a gift. A man one time took a loonie, this was many years ago, but he took a quarter when a quarter was worth something, and he put the quarter on the, on the edge of the pulpit, and while he was preaching, and then he said, you know, any person that would like to have this quarter can have it. Any person that would like to have that quarter can have it. That's what the man said. And of course, the children sat there and listened to him, and the adults, and he went on preaching. And then a few minutes later he said, any person that would like to have that quarter, any person in this audience that would like to have this quarter can have it. And he laid it again. And pretty soon, after a little while, one little fellow got up. A lot of them wanted to, and they start and stop and start and stop. And anyway, one little fellow come up, and he put his hand up to take the quarter. And just as he put his hand on the quarter, the man put his hand on his. He said, son, he said, what are you doing? And of course, kind of frightened the little fella, he said, taking the quarter. He said, how come you're taking my quarter? Well, he said, you said anybody that wants a quarter can have it. But he said, what's your name? And I don't know what it was, John or Peter or something. And he said, my name's John. Well, he said, I didn't say John could have the quarter. Nobody said, you said anybody. Anybody that wants that quarter can have it, sir. Well, that was right. And so he gave the boy the quarter. And the boy took the quarter and put it in his pocket. Do you know why? Because he said any person who wants that quarter can have it. And the boy took the man simply at his word. And he came and did exactly what the man said that they could do. Whosoever, any person that wants that quarter can have it. Well, you know what God says tonight, friend? God's salvation is similar. The very same thing. Any person that wants God's salvation can have it, friend. That's what the Bible says. Any person. It's provided for all. It's needed by all. And it's free to all. Any person that wants it can have God's great and wondrous salvation. And friend, that's the purpose of these gospel meetings. That's why the brethren here and sisters that meet in this building have convened these gospel meetings, is that individuals might, listening to the gospel, respond to the message and get God's great and wondrous salvation. Why would a person need salvation? Well, very clearly. And that's what I think of the source of the gospel. That's the first thing that I want to think. The God of the gospel, it says in the very first verse, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And so the source of the gospel, the God of the gospel, is seen right in the very first verse. Friend, that's where it all began, in the heart of God. God devised a plan and a means whereby men and women and boys and girls could have this great salvation. Do you know why? Because we needed it. I was thinking of today, right through the book, this book of Romans again. If you want to read a book that has to do, at least the first part of it, taken up with man's need and man's sin. Why, we're living in a world tonight, friend, a world that is has been wrecked by sin and ruined by sin. I know there's parts of this world where it's in favor, and we enjoy favor somewhat in the land in which we live. But I want to tell you, all you have to do is read the newspaper. All you have to do is turn on the news. Why, there's not much good news, is there? And you know what I'm reminded of as I read the paper day after day and time after time, that we're living in a world tonight that has been wrecked and that is ruined by sin. And not only that, friend, but it's on a downhill course. This world that you and I are living in is on a downward slide, and it's increasing.
getting worse and worse, and the Bible declares that it's going to wax worse and worse. In the last days, the Bible says, perilous times shall come. And I want to tell you, we're living today in perilous times, and it's getting worse. Do you know why it's getting worse? Because of the power of sin. The very first man in the garden, Adam, sinned against God, disobeyed God. I was reading through the Bible today when people turned away from God, then God's judgment came upon them. And when people turned back to God and repented of their sin, God just showed his favor upon them. Well, God does that in an individual way today. Man that has taken his course away from God. Man that is living for himself and in his sin. If that man or that woman or that boy or that girl will turn again to God and acknowledge their sin, like the man in the Bible, why there was two men went up into the temple to pray, the Bible says, and one man, he lifted up his head to heaven, and he said, I'm thankful, oh God, that I'm not like other men are. And he began to exalt himself in the presence of God. I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I'm like this, and I'm like, why, that man was only fooling himself. That man never saw himself in the light of the truth of God. But the other man, the Bible says the other man, he wouldn't even lift up his head to heaven. Why, he smote his breast. And he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Why, that man took his rightful place. Because the Bible declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. From the speaker on the platform, friend, right to the back of this building tonight, God has declared that there is absolutely no difference. He just puts us a sentence over every one of us. He puts us all in the same, in the very same word, and he says, all have sinned. No difference whatsoever. Maybe degrees as far as we're concerned. Perhaps there's things that I've done that you wouldn't do. And perhaps there's things you've done that I wouldn't do, yet capable of doing. But God doesn't look at whether we do one thing bigger or smaller. You know, it's like a lie, a white lie or a black lie. Just God just puts it over all the whole works of us. And he just puts us all together and he says, all have sinned. And you know, there came a day in my moment in my life when I just lifted my heart to God. And I acknowledge that what God said about me was true. God says, David, you are a sinner. And I said, yes, God, I'm the sinner. And I'm the sinner that would like to have salvation. I deserve God's judgment because of my sin. I was born a sinner. And I was living as a sinner. And I deserve the judgment of God as a sinner. And I asked God for mercy. You know, I repented of my sin. I told God that I was a sinner. But I wanted my sins forgiven. Well, I want to tell you, friend, that's the kind of people that get saved. That's the kind of people that God offers his gift of salvation to. The God of the gospel. And he looks down tonight in this little gospel meeting here that we're having here tonight. And he would look right into your heart, friend. We look on the outward appearance. The Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks right into the heart. I wonder, does he see a person that would be interested in God's salvation? Mostly when everything is going good, we hardly think about it, do we? When everything is right, I thought of a man today, went into the hospital in a place called Amherst, Nova Scotia, to visit a young man. And when I went in, he's lying on the hospital bed, and he's naked from the waist up, and he's got a patch on his side, a big patch. And while I'm there, the nurse comes in, and she takes that patch off and cleans up a little bit and puts the patch back on. Well, I want to tell you, that young man of 28 years of age, his life, and the doctors had told him that his life was limited. This young man had his back up against the wall. An ungodly life, a life without God, a life that he had lived for himself and up to 28 years of age. But you know something, he's facing now eternity. He's going to go to meet God now. He's standing, he's right on the brink of the great eternity, and he's staring death right in the face. Do you know what he's interested in? Do you know what Terry said to me? His name was Terry. He said to me, can I be sure of heaven? Can I know for sure that I'm going to be in heaven when I die? Why, a fellow come in to play the guitar and sing some old songs for me. Told me he didn't want to hear the old guitar played, and he didn't want to hear the old songs that he wanted to sing. And his dad came in, an ungodly man as well, no interest in the gospel. And he told his dad he was interested only in knowing if he could be in heaven and not be in hell for eternity. Well, I want to tell you, friend, with no trouble to talk to that young man. That young man was facing eternity. And it was only just days down the road, and that young man was going to breathe his last in time, and he was going to take that long, lone step out into the great beyond. Well, I want to tell you, to tell Terry that God loved them, that Christ died for them on the cross, that he didn't have to perish in his sins, that his sins, no matter what sins he'd committed, that God has promised that he would forgive them in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work at Calvary. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, and he alone can forgive sins, friend. It is only God's beloved Son that can forgive a man's sins, or a woman's sins, or a boy or a girl's sins. The preacher can't forgive no one's sins. Man can't forgive sins. But I want to tell you, God, in his mercy, gave his Son to die on the cross that you and I might have our sins forgiven. And so we have the source of the gospel, the God of the gospel, the provision made, and Paul appreciated the gospel of God in his life. Then not only that, but I think of the grace of the gospel that came into Paul's life a little further down. Paul says, For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. When I think of the grace of the gospel that came into the life of this man, Paul, do you know, if he was here preaching tonight, probably one of the first things he would tell us is when he got saved. And then he'd probably tell us where he got saved. And then he'd probably tell us how he got saved. He would tell us he was traveling one day because he was a man who, these people that called themselves Christians, he was a man who was against them. He was a man who injured them. He was a man who stood one day and everybody laid their clothes at his feet, this young man Saul, and he watched as they stoned a man by the name of Stephen, a Christian. They stoned him to death. And this man Saul, he was all for it. Why, put this man to death, this man Stephen. Stone him, cast the stones upon him, and take his life. Stamp out this Christ and his religion, this man Christ and his resurrection. Do away with it. But you know something, was stopped one day. As he's traveling along the road, and he was a blasphemer, he said that, he cursed God. But one day he was stopped, the Lord stopped him. And you know what happened? He was made to acknowledge, why, this is God, and this is Christ. And the man who died on that cross of Calvary, why, he was reaching out to this man, Saul. And you know what? He appreciated the grace of the gospel. You know what grace is? Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Do you know that God would like to give you tonight what you don't deserve? That's the good news in the gospel, of the message of the gospel. God would give to you tonight, friend, man in this meeting, God would give to you tonight something that you don't deserve to have. He gave me something that I didn't deserve to have. Do you know what it is? God's great salvation. And he would give it to you tonight in this meeting. You don't deserve it, but he would give it to you. And you could be welcome to have it tonight. God's great salvation. The grace of the gospel. And Saul appreciated the grace of the gospel. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel. God brought Saul out of that place that he was in that lost condition, that hopeless condition, and he gave him a purpose for life. And that's what God would do with you, man, in the meeting tonight. He would forgive your sins. He would take you out of the place, the condition that you're in tonight, and he would give you a purpose in life. Do you know the world is looking for a purpose in life? A man went up to identify the body of a young boy one day that had taken his own life. And as he looked down at the young fella, that his nephew, the uncle, said, I hope that young man finds the peace in death that he couldn't find in life. And I want to tell you, the world tonight is mad, looking for something to satisfy. Do you know that sin will never satisfy? Do you know that you'll never be satisfied with sin and what sin has to offer? And then not only that, but God tells us that the pleasures of sin, they're only for a season. And God has something more to offer than sin, the pleasures of sin for a season. He has a purpose for your life, man. Do you know that God would have a purpose for your life in this meeting tonight, and it's not to live for yourself, and it's not to live for the devil, and it's not to live for the sin of this world and the pleasures of sin, and it's not to continue on a broad road pictured on this chart behind me, this broad road of life that's going down to death and down to hell? Every person who misses God's salvation will never be in heaven. That's why the gospel has come. That's why Christ Jesus came into the world. That's why the Lord Jesus died on the cross, friend. Is that people might be saved, that they might escape the judgment of God that awaits the soul that misses God's salvation. And so the grace of the gospel reaches out tonight to whosoever will. Then I think of the goal of the gospel. That's in verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Well, this man Paul, he appreciated the going in the gospel. Do you know what that tells us? That tells us of a search that is being made by God. God is searching for souls. Perhaps there's a man in this meeting tonight, friend, and your ear could be caught tonight because God is interested in you. Do you know that God is looking for men and women and boys and girls? Do you know that God doesn't will that any man should perish? The Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is looking for individuals that will bow their hearts and bow their knee in His presence and ask and long for and cry for God's salvation. Like the man that's drowning, a man over that I know in Labrador, just up the road from where we were, worked on a dragger. And he was 100 miles out in the Atlantic off of St. John's, Newfoundland. And they're fishing on this big dragger. And he's working on the side of this dragger one night, and there's a big sea on that big shrimp dragger. And whatever happens, he goes overboard. Can you imagine? Sure, that'd be enough to stop your heart. 100 miles and off at the Atlantic, off of St. John's, Newfoundland, and overboard he goes over the dragger. And the alarm is sounded, man overboard. Well, I ask you tonight, what did that man want? What do you think that man thought about? As he's going overboard, and he goes down underneath the waves, 100 miles off of St. John's, out in the Atlantic, 100 miles, maybe that much under him. What do you think he's wondering? What do you think he's thinking about? I want to tell you, friend, you wouldn't have to ask to tell that man, man, you better start crying to get saved. You better cry out and ask somebody to save you. Why, that was the first cry that uttered his lips. Help! The man recognized that he needed help. He couldn't save himself. Do you know what they did? They got the life ring out and they hauled that big dragger around and they threw out the life ring and the man was going down and coming up and just... It so happened when he went down and when he came back up on one, he came right up through the middle of that life ring. Do you think he was glad? I tell you, he grabbed that thing with a death grip. And he got such a start that was his last trip on the ocean. He says, if I ever get to land, they'll never get me out here again. And they never. They finished. That was only a year ago. He says, I'm never going back out there again. No matter what. But I want to tell you, friend, he was interested in being saved. He recognized his need of being saved. Do you understand that you're going on a downward course tonight, friend? If you miss God's great salvation, friend, it's a plunge down into the great eternity. Down into that awful place that God never planned for you to go. That awful place called hell. God doesn't desire for you to go there, friend. God has provided means whereby you might miss that place, that you might get saved, your sins forgiven, that you might be in heaven for eternity. And just as that man was glad to grab that ring, he rejoiced in it and never forgot it either. Changed his life, naturally. Well, I want to tell you, God's salvation changes the life of an individual. When a person gets saved, it's something that they remember. It's something that is real, it is something that is genuine, and it makes a person ready for heaven. And then lastly, I thought of the goodness of the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Isn't that good? You know, it's not just for a select few. It's just not for the rich. Well, I'm glad it's not for the rich. Well, when we were born up, brought up back our way, we all worked together to make ends meet. Go to school in the day, and as soon as you're home from school, it's off to the woods. Pulpwood, working in the pulpwoods, and then in the winter in the hardwood for firewood, and it was after school and Saturdays and all summer long. Well, I'm glad it didn't say it's just for the rich, because we'd have never got in, friend. And it's not just for the poor, and it's not just for a certain few or a certain class, but the Bible declares it's for the whole world, everyone, and none need perish. All may come, for Christ has died. I'm not ashamed, Paul says, of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. Is there everyone here tonight? Friend, do you fit into that class tonight? Well, if you take your place as an everyone, according to this verse, then you're the one it's for. You're the man in this meeting that this salvation is for, if you're one of the everyone. Woman tonight, are you an everyone? It's for you tonight. And God, all God requires is that you take it as a gift, freely. God grant that you might, as our meeting continues.